Praise God. Today I'm going to be speaking on the subject of true revival. And I want to start here in the book of 1 Peter. And I'm going to start at chapter 1. Now this message, the Lord gave it to me over 2 months ago. But it's like, you know, the Lord's given me all these messages. I've got about 20 something of them. But I have to wait for Him to tell me which time to preach it at. You know, and I had the date written on this one that I thought I was going to preach it on July the 15th. Today is September 23rd. That's over 2 months ago. But the day the Lord said, yes, that's the message that He wants me to bring. I'm going to read at 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that which fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation, now this is the part that I'm going, I want everybody to look at this verse, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, see, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, and so forth like that, and I preach the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now this revival that we are talking about this morning, this salvation that we are talking about this morning, even the angels desire to look into these things. The prophets of old, the kings, and many righteous men, they desire to look into these things, but unto us it is given. Now I'm going to preach this message this morning. It might be a little sobering, but it will have joy at the end. How many of you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
You know, one time he said to John, he said, take the scroll and eat it. And as soon as you do, it's going to make, it'll be sweet in your mouth, but in your belly, it will be that. Well, I've got the opposite this morning. It may sound a little sobering at the beginning, but at the end, it's going to bring joy. How many of you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Now, here are the ingredients for true revival. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. And the scripture I read was just a foundation. We're going here to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's where we are preaching from this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we are going to start at verse 13. Now 2 Chronicles 7 and 13. Now many of you may know this scripture, or you may have heard, But you're going to hear me speak on it this morning the way the Lord wants me to bring it. And this is where we're talking about. 2 Chronicles 7 and 13. And if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Now, you can look at that as there's no revival. See. We've had many revivals. We had Pentecost in the days of the apostles. And it came down and filtered into the dark ages. And in this, in the last 20th century and so forth, the Lord began to bring back the Holy Spirit in 1906, 1946. We've had various revivals and so forth like that. But every time that God sends these revivals, it seems like the canker worm and the caterpillar, the palmer worm and the locust eats it up. Because the people get away from the Lord. See? And then all of a sudden God shuts it up. I'm going to be speaking this morning on that. And he said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now, he said my people. Didn't say into the world. See. Now, he said, if my people, which are called by my name. Now, are you God's people? Are you called by his name? Can I hear an amen? This is for you this morning then. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. How many of you say amen to that? In Joel chapter 2 verses 23 and so forth, he tells us, I will restore, saith the Lord. Well, why then do we not have this restoration? See, as far as I can tell, you know, we don't even have, looks like what the apostles had. But he promised us something greater. He said the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former. How many of you know that too? He tells us that in Haggai, that the glory of this former, that means the latter, is going to be greater than the former. But what I want to tell you today, there are four things in this place that we're going to talk about. The first thing is, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. So we're going to talk about humble yourself. That's the first thing. See, now, let's turn to Revelation chapter 3 and see the state of the church today. And we'll see whether they humble themselves or not. These are the reasons why there is no revival. This is the reason why the Lord shut up the heaven. But we're fixing to do something about that. Amen. Amen. Yes, we're going to do something about that this morning. Revelation chapter 3. The Lord is speaking here to the Laodicean church age. And he says, verse 14, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And he begins to tell them some things. Now he says, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest that not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And he also tells them in verse 15, I know thy works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were either hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm, and because you've got all this pride in your heart and so forth, saying, I have no need of anything, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. See? And the Lord, he said, finally, well, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Verse 20. If any man in this church age will hear my voice, and open unto the door unto me, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. See, but here's what the Laodicea church age says. They've got the arrogance, they've got the pride, and they say, we are increased with goods, we are rich, we have need of nothing, and all of these things and so forth. But the Lord says, no, you are actually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The first thing that God is calling for is humble yourselves. Don't be like this Laodicean spirit. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, he will lift you up. How many of you say amen to that? But let's see what God does to people that are proud. Similar to what he does to these people in Laodicea. Cast them out, spew them out of his mouth. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 4. You've heard me preach on this subject before right here in this church. Story of Nebuchadnezzar. I don't have time to read the whole story this morning, but I'm just going to read Nebuchadnezzar's summary himself of what he finally learned at the end of all that experience. And Nebuchadnezzar was a man that God gave everything, gave him the kingdoms of this world. But he did not give the glory to God. And he was proud in his heart. And finally God brought him down. And here's what Nebuchadnezzar said at the end of his days. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4 and verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways are judgment. And all those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. How many of you say amen to that? Sure. All those that walk in pride, the Lord is able to abase. And what happens in every generation when the Lord sends a powerful revival? They start out with the power of God, and the next thing you know, little pride sets in. Finally, the Lord shuts it down. We're going to see some of that as we go through here. The next thing he says is, if my people will humble themselves. The second thing is, pray. Now, God is challenging the people of God to pray. Does that mean they don't pray? Well, let me show you the kind of prayer that God is not looking for. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Here's a story that the Lord told, and you're going to see the reason why he told it. He said in verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. See? Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm not extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Not even as this publican or this sinner over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And so forth like that. You know, and he just bragged of all his things and all the things that he does for the Lord and so forth. But the sinner, standing afar off, would not even so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man, the sinner, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. That's that statement again. And everyone that humbleth himself shall be exalted. How many of you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So the Lord is not looking for just any kind of prayer. Actually, the prayer that he wants is a prayer of confession of sins. See, there is no revival throughout the history of the church that ever came without confession of sins. And when the people don't know how to do that, there can't be true revival. Listen to what happened in the days of Daniel. Daniel was a man that prayed for revival. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, he prayed for revival. He understood by reading all the prophecies of the prophets and so forth before him that it was time for the children of Israel to go home. But how come they were not going home? See, It is time for revival. Well, how come there is no revival? So Daniel, he began to pray. See, verse 3, and I sent my face to seek the Lord God by prayer and supplication with fasting, see, and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Verse 5, we have sinned. See, Daniel identified himself with the people. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We have rebelled. We have departed from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in the name of the Lord, you know, which spake in thy name to the kings and princes and so forth. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as it is this day. So he began to pray, and he began to call upon the name of the Lord, not only for the sins of the people, but also for himself. And he put himself in line with the people, and he began to pray. And read all the things. I don't have time to read all of it, but you can read it all the way to verse 19. And see all the prayer that he prayed there. And in verse 19 he said, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people which are called by thy name. And of course, verse 20 said, while he was yet speaking in prayer and confessing his sins and the sins of the people and so forth like that, the Lord sent the angel Gabriel, to give him some news, and so forth. Confession is an integral part of praying for revival. And the prayer also includes intercession. It's intercession. Let's see what happened. Let's what God says about looking for somebody to stand in the gap. See? In Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 5, and Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, the Bible says the Lord is looking for somebody, anybody, to stand in the gap. Anybody at all is looking for that. And there was an example of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. I don't have time to read all of it this morning, but how Abraham interceded on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he just kept on pleading with the Lord. Now that's the kind of prayer that God is looking for. Now the next thing that God is asking for his people in order to bring real revival is, he says, first humble yourselves and pray and seek my face. Now what does it mean to seek his face? Not seek his hand exactly, but seek his face. Now turn with me to Isaiah. Seek his face. Isaiah chapter 55. Verses 6. Isaiah 55. And verse 6. Here's what it says. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, here's what it says. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall seek me or search for me with all your heart. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, we know in verse 33 the Lord tells us about, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. We're not talking about asking for God's hand of blessing here. We're talking about seeking his face, wanting to be like him, wanting that nature to come upon us. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now the next thing is, turn from their wicked ways. You say, turn from their wicked ways, he's talking to God's people. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 7. What the Lord calls wickedness, it's not exactly what we call wickedness. Every time our heart is not right with God, that's wickedness to the Lord. And every time God is not first place in our hearts, that's wickedness to the Lord. Now, Jeremiah chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Now that's the gate of the Lord's house, see. And proclaim there this word, say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye Judah, that enter in at the gates, at these gates to worship the Lord. So it's like the house of the Lord. Those of you that go to the house of the Lord to worship, this message is to you. Now, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. We know that God does not dwell in buildings made with hands. I don't care how beautiful the building looks. I don't care whatever name they call it. These are the temple of the Lord. These people that are sitting right here. That's what it says. He said, the temple of the Lord are these. See, it's not some building. See? And he said, don't trust in lying words and say, oh, you know, we go over to this building and we are, you know, the ones that praise the Lord in this church and so forth like that. He said, no. You know, if you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you will thoroughly execute judgment, and so forth like that. See, then he said, that's when I will cause you to dwell in this place. Verse 7. You know, and so forth. That's when he will bring the blessing back that he promised. But here's what happens when the people don't do that. I'm going to read it to you. This is the sobering part of this message. I'm going to read to you what happens when they don't do that. God begins to bring judgment. In the same chapter of Jeremiah chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. See, you do all this evil, you do all these things and so forth. Burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods and so forth. That's like putting something, anything above the Lord. Anything or anybody above the Lord. And then you come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say that we are the elect, or we are the this, or we are the that. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers? Say, behold, I have even seen it, saith the Lord. Now, verse 12. But go ye unto my place, which is in Shiloh. And if you want to read what God did to Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. If you want to read what he did to Shiloh, you will have to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4. See. How the Lord allowed the ark to be taken and the place destroyed. And that was the first place that God chose to put his name there. And he's telling them, even the place at the beginning that I chose to put my name there, go and see what I did. How I brought it down. He erased it. He took away the glory. And finally, see, the whole thing just crumbled. Eli, when he heard the news that the ark was taken, he gave up the ghost. His daughter-in-law, she was about to give birth. She heard the news. She bowed with all her strength and gave birth and died while doing that. And she said, name this child Ichabod, because the glory of the Lord is departed. You'll see that in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verses 21. The whole chapter tells the story that I just paraphrased. Now, what is the point we're trying to bring out? This is the same thing that God has done with every revival. First, the power of God comes down so real. And then the people get sidetracked. They begin to focus on everything and everybody but the Lord. And then God shuts it down. Because my glory, I will not share with any man. Neither will I give my praise to graven images. How many of you say praise the Lord? Sure. No matter what the Lord does, no matter how great our anointing or how blessed the revival is and we're enjoying and so forth, if we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, and if you don't keep Jesus on top, he will shut it down. Every generation, even when he started with Adam in the beginning, God's plan was for Adam to inherit the eternal light right from the beginning. And he gave him everything. And that was the first place that God chose to visit man at. And he would come in the cool of the evening and he would have fellowship with him. See? But when Adam fell by transgression, the glory of the Lord departed and the Lord shut down the garden. He even put angels, see, cherubims with flaming swords right there so they wouldn't be able to enter in. And this is the same thing that he has done with every revival. When they begin to focus on everything but the Lord, he shuts it down. See, by now, of course, the Lord in his foreknowledge, he gave room that all those people would not be made perfect without us. He left something for the church at the end of the age. See, but in every generation, if the people would stay with the Lord, then they would inherit the promise. The reason they didn't inherit the promise, many of them, of course, we know the Lord left something for us. But Adam could have inherited the promise, but he didn't. See, at every generation, and even in our own generation, God has sent all prophets and different things and so forth like that. But I tell you what, this revival that we've all been waiting for, except we do these things that I'm talking about this morning, it's going to pass us by. Just like it has passed every generation by. They will be talking about it. God will move for a while, and then he will shut it down. Every single time. Every single time. May the Lord have mercy upon us. Now, I don't want God to shut it down. But maybe he already has. See? Because the people said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. But they did not live their lives according to righteousness. The Bible says, the scepter of thy throne is the scepter of righteousness. The first thing about the Lord, of course, is righteousness. See. Now, when the people don't do all of these things that we're talking about this morning, when they trust in their own righteousness, finally, God shuts it down. Let's see another example here. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 9, turn with me to verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 3. This thing that is about to happen here is judgment that is beginning at the house of God. We are told in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, before you turn to Ezekiel, he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, that now is the time that judgment will begin at the house of God. He's got to do these things. He starts by shutting down the revival. See? Put an end to all of it. Because the people's heart had not followed him. Then he raises up some people that will begin to pray. And he will start a new thing. How many of you say praise the Lord? Now, in Ezekiel chapter 9, here's what he's going to do in a minute. He is going to send destruction among the people. And when the glory of the Lord, the God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub, where he was, Ezekiel 9 verse 3, to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man that was clothed with linen, that had the writer's ink on by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a marker upon the foreheads of the people that are sighing and crying for all the abominations. That's the people that are praying. See, those are the people that are concerned about this status quo. They are concerned about the sin. They are concerned about people being at ease in Zion, as it says in Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. They are concerned about the glory of the Lord not being present in the church. They are concerned about why is it that we don't have revival. They are sighing for all the sins. God said, set a mark upon them. And then for all the others, here's what you're going to do to them. He said, go, he told the other angelic beings that were there, go in. See, after the inkhorn writer, go through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both the maidens, the little children, and the women. See, but do not come near any man upon whom is the mark. See, those that were sighing for the abominations, those that were crying to God, and those that were pleading with God all the time. See, don't come near them, but slay all the others. And listen to the next verse. And begin at my sanctuary. See, many of you may not know that, but that's where he always begins. Right in the house of the Lord. See, and he said, then they began, and boy, they just wiped the whole place out. Now that's what God does. These were the people that had the ark. These were the people that had the glory of God. These were the people that had all these kinds of things. But because they did not stay with the Lord shut it down. I told you already what God did to Shiloh in 1 Samuel chapter 4. How he shut it down. And how every time when our heart is not right with the Lord, no matter what it is, God will shut it down. When God gave them things in the Old Testament, he even gave them the serpent. After he sinned and so forth, he put the sign of the serpent upon the stick. I don't have time, the brazen serpent, to read all of it today. But he said to them, you know, that if they look to this and so forth, it will bring them healing and all that. The next thing you know, the people begin to worship that thing. Finally, God shut it down. See, they even made high places and they did all of these things and so forth. See, now every time, see, that the people do not focus on the Lord, no matter what God gives, he eventually shuts it down. The same for any revival. Now, the way for us to get true revival in our generation, to make sure it doesn't pass us by, is as follows. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. That's after the book of Daniel. And verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Say, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. See, We must sow to ourselves in righteousness. We must break up our fallow grounds. We must seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon us. The Bible says in Amos chapter 6 and verse 1, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion." Today, unfortunately, many people are in their comfort zones. People don't even like to pray, let alone fast. You know, just want to come to church on Sundays, shout the victory and so forth. But there is no man that is taking a hold on the Lord and grabbing Him and laying hold on the Lord. Let me read to you in Ezekiel. I mentioned it before, but I didn't really read it. And I'm going to read in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 5. It says, "Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither have you made up the hedge. You have not stood in the gap." See, God is looking for somebody that will stand in the gap. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Let me read that also. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. "And I sought for a man, any man, among them, that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me and so forth for the land, so I should not destroy it. But I found none." See, will God find somebody today that will stand in the gap? Will you stand in the gap in prayer that God might bring this revival? Turn with me to Psalm 85. Or will you let it just pass us by and roll up to another generation? God has no problem. You know, it'll just pass by and it'll roll on to another generation. See, since the beginning of the world, that's the way it has been. And unless we do something about it, we are in danger of the revival passing us by. Here's what I want to read to you in Psalm 85. Verse 5. "Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw out thine anger to all generations?" He said, "Will thou not revive us again, Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? "Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." Oh, I will hear what the Lord God will speak. He's going to speak peace to his saints. "But let them not turn again to folly. His salvation is near. Fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." Turn with me to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. That's just before Zephaniah, and Zephaniah is before Haggai and so forth, before you close out the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 2. "O Lord, I have heard thy speech, and I was afraid." Are you going to fear before the Lord this morning? "O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In thy wrath, remember mercy." Will that be your prayer this morning? Are you going to get up from your comfort zone and begin to pray and ask for God's mercy upon this generation? Last Wednesday, we resumed the prayer meetings right here. And these prayer meetings will continue every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Old-fashioned prayer meeting. No preaching, no singing, none of that stuff. Just come out here, lay before the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let's see what the Lord is going to do for us. How many of you say amen to that? If you want the power of God to come unto you through breakthrough praying, be here on Wednesday. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're going to have an old-fashioned prayer meeting right here. We can call upon the name of the Lord and cry upon Him, that God may have mercy upon us. We're going to confess our shortcomings. We're going to ask for His mercy. How many of you say praise the Lord? Can you say praise the Lord? But here is the good news. The good news is when we seek the Lord with all our heart, we shall find Him. The Bible says, I shall be found of you when you shall seek me with all your heart. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 16. Isaiah 59 and verse 16. Here's what it says. I will start at verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. See, you know, when people stand for the truth these days, or stand for the word of God, everybody gangs up against them. And the Lord saw it, and he displeased him, that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered why there was no intercessor. See, God is looking for the person to stand in the gap. And because there was no intercessor, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, see, it returned unto him. Basically, is what it says. See, God pulled back the revival because there was no intercessor. See, he pulled it back. Now, let's read Isaiah chapter 63. And verse 5. Isaiah 63 and verse 5. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm, he brought salvation unto me, and my fury, so he upheld me. And so he said, and I will tread down the people in my anger. Why? Because there was no intercessor. See, this is the power of intercession. And the lack of it, here's what it will bring. The lack of intercessory prayer from God's elect, standing in the gap for this generation, will bring God's fury. He will tread down the people. Say, I will tread down the people in my anger, and I will make them drink in my fury, and so forth. And I will bring down their strength in the earth. You know, and all of this, and so forth. But here's what we are going to do. We are going to begin to stand in the gap. We are going to begin to call upon the name of the Lord. We're going to get a hold of the Lord. And we're going to see what the Lord's going to do for us. How many of you can say amen to that? The Lord promised, he says, seek ye the Lord in the time when he may be found. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Zechariah. When the Lord wants to do something great, he begins to bring a hunger to the hearts of the people. See, that's the way the Lord works. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Say, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. This is the promise of God. So shall the Lord make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. But you must pray. See, you can't just sit down and expect that it's going to happen. It's not just going to happen without prayer. We must pray. We must pray. We must seek His face. We must ask for God's mercy. Praise ye the name of the Lord. How many of you understand this message this morning? Give the Lord a hand clap if you do. Now I'm going to challenge us to prayer. And I'm going to call a GMI day of prayer. Right now the Holy Spirit is moving upon me. It's not in my message. to do this. This coming Wednesday at 7 p.m., I want everybody that can to be here. If you don't have to walk that night, you be here. And this is not just for the older generation, because sometimes the young people think that when we say these things, it's just for the adults. I mean the older generation. No, it's for everybody. See, you come here. Jesus said, why could you not watch with me for 1 hour? The Lord is calling for this day of prayer. This Wednesday at 7 p.m. right here. When you come here, just lay down on your face, kneel down, call upon the Lord, whatever. No singing, no preaching, just old-fashioned praying. And let's see what the Lord's going to do for us. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want everybody to lift up your hands and begin to pray. Now you've heard the message. And you've seen what God has done to all the others. How he tore down Shiloh. And how he brought down all of these things that they trusted in. And he won't allow the ark of God to be captured and so forth. And how God shut down the heavens and shut down every revival. Well, let's do something about that this morning. I want everybody to begin to pray. So he said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves. First thing we want to do this morning is to humble ourselves. Those of you that walk in pride, say we are the elect, and we are all of these things and so forth. The Bible says, don't begin to say to yourselves that you are sons of Abraham and all of these things, that the elect and all that God can of these stones raise up anything he wants. How many of you know that's true? Yeah, if we go around say, I'm the elect, I'm the this, I'm the that, and so forth like that. See, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to seek his face. We need to pray. We need to amend our ways. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Let's begin by doing that this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's confess our sins together this morning. The reason why we have this confusion of faces. The reason why there is no revival. The reason why everything is languishing. It's because the people have failed to seek the Lord with all their hearts. Everybody is too caught up with, the chaos of the life, running from your job to your this and to that and so forth like that. Well, you have your reward. See, but if you want the power of God, you're going to have to give up some things. If you want real revival, if you want to see miracles, if you want to see souls saved, you're going to have to give up some things. First of all, you have to give up an hour of television. You have to give up an hour of whatever it is you are doing and come and pray before the Lord. And let's see what the Lord's going to do for us. Let us pray together. Everybody, all over this place, I want us to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, all over this auditorium, we confess our sins. I confess my sins and the sins of my people because we have not prayed. We have not sought you like we should. We have every one of us to your tents, O Israel. That's what we've been doing. And people have not called upon the name of the Lord that they should. People have not taken to heart the message of the gospel like we should. People have not cared. They have not been enthused by the things of God. We have not cared. We have not done any of these things that we were supposed to do. We are miserable offenders. We've done all the evil in your sight. Because you are a righteous God, that's why you have withheld your glory. Now, Lord, we confess our sins. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your mercy, Lord. You say, if I shut up the heaven, which you have, you shut up the revival. We don't see the power of God like we should every day. We don't see how it was in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. We don't see all of these things anymore that we should, but yet you have promised it. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, be merciful unto us, O Lord. 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 Bring back the spirit of prayer in the name of Jesus. Bring the spirit of prayer, Lord. The spirit of prayer, the intercessory spirit that will stand in the gap, that will get a hold of God in the mighty name of Jesus. He said, set a mark upon those that are sighing and praying for the abominations that are sighing about these things, and destroy them not. But for all the others, beginning at my sanctuary, wipe them all out. Father, be merciful to us, Lord, that we will not be among those that are slain because of our appetite, because of our indifference. Lord, have mercy upon us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Make bright clouds now, Lord, and let there be rain. Let there be rain. Let there be rain. Let the real rain of revival come to our hearts. Bring back, O Lord, energize the love of God once again in our hearts. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We see, we look around, and the love of many have waxed cold already. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. The generation of the prophets and the apostles and so forth, they did everything they could, yet the Lord did not find them perfect. And the Bible says, if the righteous be scarcely saved, what about those who are lethargic? What about those who are sitting at ease? The prophets and the apostles, they did everything they can, everything they could, but they couldn't get the promise. Because God has held it out for us, but if we are lethargic, we will not get it either. May the Lord have mercy upon us. 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 I want the church to say with me, amen. May the Lord have mercy upon us, amen. May the Lord have mercy upon us, amen. I want the church to say this with me. Say, the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. The righteousness of God, oh, and Your mercy is with us today. Thank You, Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. In a few minutes, we're going to break bread. This was a fasting and a consecration weekend. But even most people don't like to fast. Most people don't do it. You know, if I was to take a show of hands now and say, how many people joined in this fast? How many people? I want to see your hands up. We called for a fast this last week. How many people did it? See, I can't even see all the hands. This is part of the problem why there is no revival. See, we cannot expect to take any shortcuts. We've got to pay the price. Jesus himself, he prayed until blood was coming out of his brows. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. They did all of these things for us and so forth like that. We must pay the price in order to get the reward. Now, beginning this Wednesday, let us see what we can do in prayer. I want everybody who can to be here on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, 1 hour of prayer. And then we'll see what the Lord is going to do for us. Now, this is not, fasting by no means is not legalistic. But the Bible says, man shall live by every word that is in the Bible. How many of you know that's true? Amen? It got very quiet in here. Well, the flesh doesn't like to do it. But there are certain kinds that cannot go out except by prayer and fasting. You can do everything you can. But there are some prayers that will not work except by prayer and fasting. The Lord said it himself. So, and especially when it comes to this revival, Daniel, he fasted and he prayed. And he sought the Lord. He put ashes upon his head and so forth like that. And the next thing we know, the children of Israel went home. How many of you say praise the Lord? Oh yes, sir. I said it before in this church and I'll say it again. If the devil thinks that we come out to start this church so that we can all go back to Egypt, he's got another thing coming. Just lost the mic. We didn't come out here. I just use one of these. We didn't come out here just to go back to Egypt. You know, the Lord, after he brought them out of Egypt, their hearts were not right, and they wanted to go back. And of course, the Lord destroyed all of them all in the wilderness. But that's not what we're going to do in this church. How many of you say praise the Lord? Well, I don't have all the answers, but so help me God, I am going to seek for the answers. And all I need is one person to believe with me, and you come here and let's seek the face of the Lord together, and let's see what God will do. There is power also in corporate prayer. How many of you know that's true? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And every time we don't pray as the body of Christ, not only will we not get the power of God, but the devil will take advantage. See? Then he begins to afflict people in different places. So we are going to be taking prayer requests also in the Wednesday night prayer meetings. We don't have time to do this on Sundays. And every service will have a basket with some index cards. You can write your prayer requests and so forth like that if you are unable to come to the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And after we seek the Lord and pray for revival and so forth, we will take some personal requests. So I've got the basket in the back. You don't have to put your name on it. If you want to be anonymous, that's fine. The Lord will answer your prayer anyway. You take an index card, you write your prayer request, and we're going to be praying over this. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we go into the breaking of the bread, I want to sing this song. Open the floodgates and let it rain. I want the choir to come and help me with this briefly before we break bread. I want us to do this while we are all standing.